Like, you don't let anybody ruin your day. Do that all on your own, right? Like, you should be the one to ruin your day.
Yeah, yeah, you're best at it. Yeah. No one's hard on me as me. So screw you for your judgment. Yeah. I'm good with my judgment.
Yeah.
I'm a spiritual chiropractor.
My friends call me the real life caregiver.
Talk it out. Right now.
Welcome to podcast, Black Sheep Thinking podcast number 15. I am Morgan Pierce.
And I am Andrew Potbe.
We're your two best friends and life coaches looking to help you understand the difference in your life when you could put down your thinking and become the truth of who you are.
Yes.
And so today we're going to talk about destructive criticism.
Not
constructive criticism.
Yes.
It's destructive.
Yeah.
Because there's not much of a difference. Well. We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so because we were in a group setting and someone brought up constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting because, you know, the word criticism to begin with is interesting. That language is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like what we call like the inner critic, right? Like the part of you that's always telling you you're doing something wrong or
right.
Need to change what you're doing. You need to change who you are. You need to adjust what you think.
It also speaks to like believing that someone sees part of you
yep.
that you're missing and you're looking for outside validation to make a choice.
Yep.
And so, you know, I was told from a wise man years ago that, be careful what feedback you listen to because you'll become that person.
Yep. Yeah, that's really good.
And so it's really hard for me to listen to other people's opinions. I mean, if I did listen to what was considered constructive criticism, then one is Black Sheep Thinking wouldn't be a business.
Fair enough.
Because it's a long title. Nobody will research it on a website. You know, all these black sheep are negative. That's a connotation. And
yeah.
What if, you know, especially during times of divide in the world, you know, where people are focused on race, sometimes they'd be like, you know,
yep.
this might be, and none of that stuff has come to pass because, well, one, we don't even think about that and that's not a conversation we have. And number two is like, but it really comes down to how do you listen to people when they don't share aligned values and be careful where they're sharing that from. I remember when I tell that story when my mom told me that I can pay my way through school with magic and
right.
she was speaking her limitations and the fear of me, you know, failing and her witnessing that could have been considered constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And so I think listening to people's opinions isn't as relative as most people think. It's tough because you have to, but at the same time, I mean, we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast if we didn't listen to people's advice, but it comes down to not listening to whether it's right or wrong. But I think it becomes destructive when you see it as I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
Or that I need to do what they're saying or,
yep.
because remember when we started, everyone's like, you need to do a YouTube channel. You need to have a podcast.
Yeah.
You need to do groups. You need to do one-on-one coaching. You need to do video. You need like,
yeah, so many things.
You need to write a book. You need to do this. It's like, well, if I listen to all that stuff, it's kind of like health.
We'd be chasing so many rabbits, right? And you always say a fox can only chase one rabbit. And so it's like one thing at a time.
One at a time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And knowing when the right thing is for you.
Yeah.
We've jumped into things early and then decided, you know, we're not in the right spot. Doing it online, we did Patreon for a while and it was fun and it was good. Pardon me, got us in front of the video camera, but at the same time, you know, we're having to sell something that wasn't really where we wanted to be at that time.
Yeah. Well, and how many times have we had people where we've given a hard truth to help them understand themselves a little bit better? And they've given us feedback, like, you can't just say that to people. You can't just say that thing. You can't, you're hurting people's feelings or you're triggering people or whatnot. And if we listen to that, well, then we wouldn't say half of the things that we say because we'd be nervous about hurting someone's feelings.
Right. And then we're not giving them this, constructive feedback. We're giving them as an observation of where they're at.
Yeah.
And we value that from others. And that's a really good separation. How do you know the difference between, you know, people who have feedback that want to project something?
Yep.
And then taking something honestly as value into your business. And I think it goes down, you have to really know who you are and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yep.
And again, if you're listening to people, what they say, and taking it at face value, because even though it's meant to be constructive, if you're seeing it as criticism, you're seeing it as a judgment. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I always love that quote, like, haters love us in a special way. And sometimes I wish we had more negative feedback because those people are promoting you and consulting you for free.
It's true.
And yep. So sometimes I feel like we're not doing our job making people hate us enough.
Try harder.
See, be more like Andrew Tate.
Well, listen to our next episode. We might get some haters.
That's fair. Be patient. People hate you soon enough. But again, like I never see it as criticism either. Like, I mean, your sister, she was like, your curtains are wrinkly.
It's great feedback. It's great feedback. It's really good to know that, you know, people are noticing those kind of things. And it's like,
thanks for making
me we were
steaming these damn things for you.
Yeah. And we didn't beat ourselves up and then stop recording and cancel everything.
We'll have to re-record everything. Start back to number one. The curtains are wrinkly. No one's going to like us.
Yeah.
That's true. But how many times does that show up for people when they hear someone they love say something that goes against, and it can deflate people. Yeah. And that's why I'm always super cautious. We never tell people what to do. We tell them how to approach it from the same perspective and how
and where to do it from.
Yeah. And where they can do it from themselves. But you know, we're very careful in helping people. And, you know, here's what we never give advice that way. And at least we try not to, unless it's really asked for. And we just kind of say, we're not you.
Yeah.
However, I've never told anyone, like, even if they have the craziest dreams, like I've had people who they'll come to you and say, oh, they'll be criticizing themselves. Who's harder on you than you? Right? Like,
that's
nobody.
True.
So why would it be?
I've seen that. There's like a meme, like, you don't let anybody ruin your day. Do that all on your own, right? Like, you should be the one to ruin your day.
Yeah, you're best at it. No one's hard on me as me. So screw you for your judgment. Yeah. I'm good with my judgment.
Yeah.
But take a second to recognize, like, there's so many people listening that are so insecure with their choices and rightfully so, because we're so nervous to look like a failure.
That we're looking to outside sources to tell us what to do.
You should tell me what to do. And, you know,
you say, if you live for their validation, you'll die from their criticism.
Yeah. If you live for their approval, you'll die by their judgment. Yeah. Close enough. But that's
same
true.
Idea.
It is exactly bang on.
Exact same
and
idea.
So I think I like the way you say it better, but the thing is when you do, we're always seeking approval, and that's the problem with feedback and you have to be cautious about, like, there's another thing that, you know, if you're going to ask for business direction, it's very, like, some people go, well, how can I take advice? I remember when I was doing Kind Women in Heels for Joanne McCormick for a spot, that was a great opportunity. And the first thing they said is, it was Kind Women in Heels, and I was speaking. They said, how could you take advice? How are we taking advice from a man for this? And that's a great question, because I wasn't offended at all. I was like, that makes sense. Now, I asked, how many of you are raising boys?
Mm-hmm.
And what gives you the right to raise a boy being a woman? They went, oh man, this guy's good. Because I believe that it doesn't matter what gender you are, you can raise a child. I believe that even if you failed at a business, sometimes failing at a business, you know,
gives you the understanding.
Gives you more understanding
on what not to do.
Yeah, you don't have to be we've worked with very successful business owners that are far more successful than we've been in any of our businesses, because it's the nature of their business that they deal with millions and we deal with tens of hundreds. But I mean, it's not about, for us, success was never about being millionaires.
No.
It was always about, you know, what number of people we can reach out and touch, which is one of the reasons we're doing this podcast. It wasn't about fame or popularity. It is trying to get that message.
Literally just many people can we reach? And we can't reach more people just by having one-on-one conversations. We reach more people by reaching out like this through a podcast.
And that was important to us. And I remember even pushing back on it when someone said, a very successful woman who was like, you need to, you're running at it. You know, your practice is max. There's only so many of you. Two, essentially.
Yeah.
And I said, we're fine with that, you know? And she's like, yeah, but you're going to have to be able to multiply this somehow, and not wanting to be on social media because it was negative, and wanting to be taking our time doing something that wasn't a direct correlation to making a difference.
Yep.
We felt like the conversation one-on-one is so impactful.
It's true.
How can we?
It's hard to replicate that in a screen.
Right? It is. We can't see you. We can't participate in the Socratic method of a back and forth.
Yep.
But we can kind of just project and hope that there's value for you.
And tell our story and what's worked for us and what's changed for us. And then some of the clients we work with and how it's changed for them. And and a lot of times when people hear those kind of stories, something will resonate and they'll get some awareness on where they are in their own lives.
Exactly. And we were so against it. But then I kind of got to this point where I heard it over and over that I thought, and I remember it was the same thing when I was out on vacation. People are like, you should be a speaker and a coach. And I'm like, yeah, ha ha. And like when people say I should be a comedian because of magic, I push it off because I'm not a comedian. That's not what I do. So I just thought it was, and then, you know, we were at this place where it was like, you should be a speaker. And I heard it. And my wife's like, you think, you know, and then that was kind of like very early before this thing started, but it was, that was one of the, those things that drip on you.
Yep.
And then I remember like, the same thing occurred, and I thought, well, how many times do I really trust and care about this woman? Why am I not listening to this? Because, and so, you know, what am I afraid of? And it wasn't so much fear. It was more like, well, a little bit of fear, I guess, in saying that, is this really the right step for where we're at? And is it going to be received well? And thankfully, you know, so far, so good. We really appreciate the, you know, that. But so how do you know the difference? And what it was for me was less about hearing it from their perspective and more about going in and saying, you know, what's the worst that can happen? What's the best? Is it something that's meaningful to us? Can I find value in it? And I think it was a conversation where I think she said, you know, Morgan, like it's, if you metaphorically help people get from their personal hell to heaven, where, if you had to go and find people, you know, or you'd have to go to hell, you couldn't stay in heaven.
You got to find them, meet the people where they're at.
Yeah. Where's hell on earth?
Yeah.
Social media. So we had that.
It's true.
So we had to come find you. And I'm very thankful that we've made that choice.
Too.
But that was something that took time to register as, you know, and that's not so much the way I see it. That's great feedback. And I think that's where we look at feedback. But when we look at constructive criticism, that's really someone's perspective of where you're at and their judgment being hidden. And a lot of times when I hear it, that's why it's, we're calling it destructive criticism, because your judgment of self and trying to be a perfectionist, if you're in that space, if you're not in the truth of who you are, if you are being in a place of identity, if you're in a place of validation, neediness, self-judgment, and then you hear someone say that.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so that, I guess that would be kind of what it comes down to. The difference is, where do you feel it, right? Like if somebody gives you constructive criticism and you take it and beat yourself up for it, well, then that's why we call it destructive criticism, because that's not feedback.
Yes.
That's something that's actually making your existence worse.
Yeah, and if you're getting defensive about it, that doesn't mean it's the wrong thing either.
No.
It just means that you need to take time to be like, okay, why are you being defensive? If it's not true, and you're in a good place, then it shouldn't bother you that much. If you're denying it and there's a pain in you, but you sit in it and you're like, you know what? It hurts because it is true.
Exactly.
Then maybe it's worth considering.
Yeah.
But I really want people to recognize, like, feedback is a gift, but it's not one you don't have to return to Walmart. You can decide not to take feedback.
It's true.
There's a lot of companies. I can't remember the book. I want to say it's a Seth Godin book, but regardless, it doesn't matter. It was talking about, there's three perspectives, the three things about a business.
And,
and the first one is your vision, and the second one is your consumer's vision.
Yep.
And the third one is to add value in a surprising way, but which is another thing. But there was, I remember there was in the book, it talked about this guy that had like a whole business set up where it was like fast food and people on roller skates while they're getting gas. Something, there was some sort of thing, and you should add this and you should add this. And it was starting to become like, you know, just an overwhelming kind of thing. If you listen to everything they said, it just wouldn't have fit. So you got to be careful when you take this, you know, air quotes, constructive feedback, and take a look at your life. But I remember early in, you know, as far as feedback goes, and when it does sting, I remember early on in having a son, or my son was just one or two, I would come home and he just wouldn't, you know, I was always had that vision of, yay, daddy's home. And it wasn't really that like, connect. And then my wife said, well, it's because you're not connected to him. You're busy. And that stung. And, but I realized it stung from a place of love and truth. And that helped me understand my priorities of being a dad and what I wanted to create. And now as my son's seven, he's my best friend and we have a great connection. And I value that my wife made a stance to say, now that's real feedback. And whether you call it constructive or not, it wasn't destructive, although it hurt.
Yeah.
But I've had destructive criticism where it's like, Morgan, you're too outgoing. Morgan, you don't care enough about money. Morgan, you dressed, when I was in finance, you dressed too different.
Yeah.
I used to wear Superman socks with capes on and stuff in the business. And people thought that was weird.
Yeah.
But I just did me. And, you know, every time I've shown up. And so that takes me to a story that I'd love to share about being about, you know, destructive feedback.
Yep.
I was, I think you know this story, but I was in an elevator back when I was working in finance, and I got in with another man that I worked with as a manager. And there was an older woman, not too old, but older than me. And she was small, and I saw her shrink. And now we're 2 6-foot men in suits, and that's intimidating even if we're in suits. But
yeah.
And so I saw her, and I just kind of joked and I said, I got new socks. because I was a big sock guy back then.
Yeah.
Even today, this day, I love socks. And she looks down. I'm like, no, not on the rainbow socks where you stick your toes in. They match another suit I wear. And she laughed.
Yeah.
And that was, and then she got to her floor. And we got to our floor. We got up. And he looked at me. He said, "You're an idiot." And I'm like, "I'm just trying to lighten her, brighten her day." She was nervous. He's like, "Whatever." And he kind of, and walked off.
Yeah.
And a week or so later, I walk on the elevator and I'm by myself and I walk on and I didn't recognize, but it was the same woman. And she said, she lights up and she goes, "How are your socks?" I'm like, "Wow, you remember me."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yeah, of course." I said, the other guy we were on the elevator with, he called me an idiot for making a joke. And she goes, "There was no one else with you on the elevator."
Didn't even remember.
Of course there was. Yeah, you're right. There was no one.
Yeah.
Else.
Yeah.
there was no one. And I recognized in that moment, like, I was really hurt when he said that. And I thought, maybe I am too much. And there's been times where that kind of feedback has shifted me and maybe questioning myself.
Yeah.
And I think the purpose of this, podcast, when we decided on this topic, was to help people realize that the feedback can be very destructive when you're in a place of uncertainty and you're looking on the outside to understand who you are.
Yeah.
And I just want to remind people, like, if you, there's a little voice inside of you that's telling you who to be. And it's okay to be you. Black sheep thinking is about surviving the concept of there's lots of white sheep in the world, but there's a large group of people like us that are different for all the right reasons. And it's okay for you to stand out if you're coming from a place of love, purpose, and intent. And that's what we represent. And, if people want to give you feedback, don't make it about you.
Yeah. I actually remember one of the best bits of feedback you gave me was after I had an argument with my ex-wife on the phone. Do you remember this? It was over hockey. It was over hockey. And, she made some comments about how, I don't support my son in hockey because I hated hockey and I was never able to play. And I got really mad and defensive about it. And I hung up the phone and I called you and I was just angry. And you're like, "Well, bro, I mean, you didn't accidentally have four kids with this woman, first off. And what is it that you're mad about? Like, why are you so mad about what she's saying to you?" And I realized in that moment, it's months. That's true. I'm not being very supportive of my son. And that's why it stings.
Right.
It's because I could be more supportive as a dad with his hockey career.
Mm.
And it shifted for me. And then I started to do that. And man, now at 11 years old, he loves hockey, man.
Because he was starting to self-judge.
Yeah.
And disappoint you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a shift it's been.
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah. You saw all the benefits to it.
Yeah. And it shifted my relationship with my ex-wife too. We were able to have better conversations regarding hockey because I'm not in that place of judging the fact that I wasn't, we didn't make enough money when I was a kid for me to play hockey. And
yeah. My biggest fear, I think Marshall's going to play hockey.
Yeah.
The only time I ever touched ice is when I injured myself.
Yeah.
That's both instinct and not. Too.
I was always had ice on my ankles from playing soccer because we could only afford for me to play soccer.
Yeah, basketball, poor man's sport. Yeah. And so, I think that's the great thing. I don't know if we've uncovered, and there's a bit of value there in understanding what's the difference, but I think the biggest difference is to take an honest look of who you are versus what you think you need to be because of other people's story. And if you hear, and it goes back to almost like our last episode, it's like read from need, not from knowing. This one is more like
listen to feedback from the same place.
Listen to feedback. I mean, it always goes back to the same spot, but get a real comfortable sense of it's okay if they don't see you the way you see yourself. I mean, the Wright brothers everyone thought they were idiots for trying to build a plane. Imagine if they listened to people. We wouldn't be flying out anywhere. If you looked at people who created everything from cars to Elon Musk. Elon Musk is an example. People might not like him, but what I respect the most is he went to the government to say, "Hey, I'm building these electric cars. I need a highway of chargers. Can we put them in the gas stations?" They're like, "No, we're not doing that." He's like, "Okay, I'll just do it myself."
Yeah.
Like, he just flinches on his vision.
Sure. The man makes me think of that Deion Sanders video.
Your opinion of me.
Yeah. What makes you think that your opinion of me means anything to me? Your opinion of me is not the opinion I have of myself.
Yeah, it's true. And that's not arrogant. People think that might sound arrogant, but it's not. There's no arrogance. And there's a great quote we live by that was written by another great coach, Steve Hardison, who we like some of the things he says.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some good stuff.
This is one of the things he wrote. And I just paraphrased it from his book. Self-compassion. No, this is not that. Sorry. I got a lot of notes. Oh, maybe it is that. Yeah, it is actually. I didn't write that. And so, awkwardness.
I was going to say, it'd be a perfect time for a commercial break.
Yeah. Brought to you today by Red Bull.
Red Bull and a black sheep thinking mug.
There it is. I've been accused of arrogance, yet every time I declare who I am, I've created myself for myself, for others, and the universe. I believe the idea of bearing your magnificence is offensive. False humility is pernicious. Refuse to go there, even if society judges you. Self-love isn't narcissistic when it's from the place of serving yourself or others to your fullest capacity.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's really, really, really well paraphrased from his original thing, but it was not far off in understanding, you know, that I had to look up the word pernicious, but I'm sure many people listening right now are like, I'm going to look up. I'm not going to tell them, so they look
up. I'm going to look it up later.
It's not even a word. I made it up. No. But I think that really speaks to the fear that people have and why we look so much outside of us to get feedback, because we think, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Rather than I'm doing it, there is no right. I'm going to learn or grow, and it's okay to try.
Yeah.
And I remember when we started doing the promos, one of our promos early on, and we still got time. One of our promos early on was, during COVID, I think I did that mouth stretcher game where I read famous quotes, and someone wrote me and went, this was a horrible idea. It's off brand. And, but during it, I had one person write and say, these things are making me laugh and they're keeping me alive during this really depressing time while I have to work at my job because they were deemed necessary, them and 95% of the world. But they were in a spot, and I thought, well, that's all that mattered to me.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't successful as far as, you know, accomplishing anything outside of that. And then we did the promo right after that. We put together that, like, you know, survivor type, follow me type thing. Shared things. We didn't have content back then. And that took us from our, because we had to leave our Facebook page, our old one, and open a new one because we got disconnected. And it ramped us right back up to our even numbers.
It did.
Like within a month.
Yep.
And they didn't want to end it. They loved it. And I thought, if I wasn't willing to take chances, or I was listening to other people's, you know, feedback, I would be afraid to take chances.
That's true.
And so don't be afraid to try things and realize that, you know, people's feedback will give you an opportunity to hear something. But I've done feedback things on speeches and come back and, like, they've all had different opinions on positive ways. And you think, what do I take from that? Well, there's a variety.
Take what you need.
Yeah. And if someone says something negative, you know, I don't take it to heart, because I realize that if someone thinks you're good or bad, they really don't have any. That's why I walked up to the table and did magic, and someone's like, hey, would you like to see some magic? And I stopped asking that, because many people don't have the experience to make a judgment.
How do
they know? They never experienced live entertainment before like that. So what am I asking them? And so it's just, and again, a compliment or an insult weighs the same thing, or it's like just where people are at. You can only show up and do you. So.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that completes it. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I think so. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, just make sure you understand that if you're giving a feedback, and know that, make sure it doesn't come from a place of judgment or jealousy.
Yeah, know who you are rooted in that. Yeah,
and if you're taking it, the same thing.
Yep, exactly.
All right.
Yep.
Well, I hope you got some value today. I enjoyed it.
Me too.
We look forward to seeing you in our next episode. The next few episodes are really special to us coming up. So we're like that. Please make sure that if you're listening to us, if you want to hear more.
Yeah, like and subscribe. Become a part of the herd.
And feel free to ask any questions.
H-A-R-D.
Feel free to ask us questions, because a lot of our content has been developed based off of people sharing insights and sharing what they want to hear. And we'd love to answer your questions directly in this podcast.
Yep.
Look forward to seeing you again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Much love.
Peace.